Good afternoon, Wrangell. You're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1 p.m. We have our guest, Steve Persunka, in the studio today. He's running for mayor. Call in anytime during this program to ask a question or just say hi. That number is 874-2345. Steve, thank you for coming in today.
Thanks, June. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Steve, you're running for mayor, and you're already on the assembly. Give me a sense of how long you have been in that role.
I've been on the assembly, I think, 3 or 4 years. I was appointed to an open seat and then finished that term out and then ran again for another term. Would have been last year or the year before that. So, yeah, 3 or 4 years now.
Okay. And before we get into city business, just remind people how they might know you in the community. Just give us a little sense of yourself.
Okay. Well, we came as a family with our young daughter in 1996, so it's 22 years we've been here now. And we traveled up for my wife's job at the hospital, and we brought our first daughter, Annie, with us, and she was about a year and a half old, moved into Wrangell. And at the time, we had a few choices. We were looking at Ketchikan, Talkeetna, I think Fairbanks, and Wrangell. And we had kind of been looking around, and Wrangell won our heart. And we decided to come for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And 22 years later, we're still here. But
yeah, why do you think you stayed?
We stayed a couple reasons. One is we stayed for all the things Wrangell doesn't have. And we stayed for all the things that Wrangell does have. So what it doesn't have is traffic jams and interstate and junk food and things like that. That was really not our scene. And what we stayed for, what Wrangell has, is relationships that are real with people in the community. It's a caring community. I always tell people when we arrived, it was late at night. We got off the ferry. We were frazzled. And we got to our new house down on Church Street that we had bought. And of course, there's no stores open or anything. We've got this baby, and we pull into our house, and Trudy Johnson had broken into our house and stocked our fridge with food and milk and all of the things that we needed to get by for our first week. So that's the kind of place that Wrangell is, and that's what's kept us here, is the people.
Absolutely. Tell me a little bit more about yourself. What else do you do in town?
Well, I've had a couple of roles here in town. When I first arrived, I was still working with young offenders on Vancouver Island. And so I would fly out every couple of months and go down, and I was a wilderness guide with kids that were having trouble down there. And so I was flying in and out pretty constantly for a month at a time to go down and do that. And so I saw that maybe there was a need for a bike shop, and Lynn and I talked about it and decided to build a little bike shop in our basement, and I started fixing kids' bikes and helping folks out, and that sort of grew into getting some bikes into town, and then canoes and kayaks, and next thing I know, I was back guiding on a private level through the company. And I had written a little program design for a program which now is Crossings, and I went and saw Mark Walker and said, I think this is what I was kind of doing down south in Canada. And at that time, Alaska was shipping 400 kids a year out of state. And they were situated all across the states in various programs. And the governor at the time wanted to, was called Bring Them Home. And so Mark and I worked together and polished the program. And the first year we ran with 18 kids in the program. And then the state kind of got behind it and said, this is a good thing. We want to build on it. And I think the last year between all the programs we were running that I was there, I stayed 11 years in that program or in that job. And it was, we had over 200 kids coming through Wrangell. So that was a pretty big, extensive project. And I left that about 6 or 7 years ago now. So, and it's still going, which is great. And I love that it's still here and working with kids in the community. After that, I've been volunteering. I decided to turn up sort of my volunteer portfolio. And so working with the fire department, I think I'm in my 18th year there. I took on a search and rescue dog, and I've been training that and then helping others train their dogs, and working with the assembly. I coached the drama debate club at the high school with my daughter that was in that. That was really interesting. I was horrible at it. And we just been staying busy with my volunteer stuff.
Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, I really didn't know all of that about you. Thank you for giving us that background. So the time is 1:05. You're listening to Talk on the Rock. We have Steve Persunka in the studio. He's running for mayor. He's on the assembly now. And this is a great opportunity to call in and ask your elected local officials a question. Or just say, hey, what's up? So that number is 874-2345. We'll be right back. Hi, we are back. So we've got a call and hello, can you hear me?
I can.
Hi, please introduce yourself.
This is Brooke Wesley.
Hey.
Hi, Brooke.
How you doing?
Good.
I have a couple questions for you.
Fire away.
All right, my first question is related to recycling. We don't currently have any sort of recycling program in Wrangell with the exception of what Garnet does with the aluminum cans. And I know that with the tariffs with China, that it makes that matter even more complicated. But do you want to see a recycling program in Wrangell? Petersburg has one, Sitka, Juneau.
Yes. Well, you're right. It is complicated. And the recent tariffs with China has really dried up the markets for recyclables. And unfortunately, from what I've read, a lot of the recyclables are now being landfilled because there's not a market for them. And so there's some issues with that. But solid waste is a huge issue. And I was just speaking with Lisa about this today. And we are going to be compelled to start baling our trash for going off island within the next 4 years. What that means is an incredible capital outlay to purchase a baler. And we're trying to think of alternatives to that. 'Cause it's not just the baler, it's also a building. And so, you know, reducing our consumption is definitely a great start. Being able to try to come up with a way to recycle off island would be awesome as well. But I do know that other communities have struggled because of freight costs and getting the recyclables down and decreased markets for the price. We have to make whatever we do, I think, Brooke, has to be relatively easy to comply with for folks. And that's always the question I have. Now, I would like to see us do more teaming with the tribe and the program there that Chris Hatton is heading up, and she's done some work on this previously that she presented to the council. And I think there's a lot of room for us to work on it, but we have to proceed kind of cautiously so we don't wind up creating a more of a mess than we're cleaning up, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, most definitely. And my other question is, would you like to see Wrangell continue to grow and grow in its population? And if so, the housing market here is very limited, and almost all the properties are currently occupied or owned. How would you address that in a planning and zoning way so that we can sustain that growth?
Absolutely. That is a great question, and the Assembly has been wrestling with this off and on. And one of the first things we need to do is get properties that are ready to go out onto the market so people can get them and start to develop them into homes. The second thing is we have the Institute property, and we need to start to look at that. We sort of got stalled out a little bit when there was the possibility of having the boarding school on the Institute property. I felt like we kind of spun our wheels for a while trying to figure out how that was going to play out. As far as I know, Brooke, that's done. There's no further really entertaining of that becoming a science, engineering, technology, math kind oriented school. And so we need to revisit that and look at that for housing. But in terms of growth, I think there's some, I really believe that we're on a cusp of being able to see the community move forward with some new and possibly innovative ideas to work together in some private public partnerships, say at the mill, that might bring more jobs to town. And it is a fine line because we enjoy, I just was finished saying that one of the things that we like is what Wrangell doesn't have, and Wrangell doesn't have a whole ton of people. And so you can kind of grow yourself into being something you might not like to be too. But that's a discussion that the community has to have with the assembly and help to give us some guidance on where we should head. But hopefully we'll have some more news on all of that as we move along. But the housing it's going to be interesting as we move forward between the hospital and other opportunities coming forward to make sure that everybody has an opportunity at owning a home.
Last question is regarding sales tax. Currently, we have a 7% city sales tax with a tax cap at $1,500 gross sales or $105 in tax. Would you be interested in revisiting the way that we assess city sales tax and potentially having a lower tax rate but no tax cap?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Yes, I would be interested in that. And but here's what I know, Brooke. The city has done an amazing job at controlling its growth and controlling its costs in terms of city programs and city workers. And so many times I actually have the opposite worry about our city workers, that we're overtasking departments with limited personnel. And as far as I'm concerned, water and sewer is an excellent example where we have minimal amount of staff compared to other communities. And we have to be cautious not to save people money and leave a deficit to our kids. And we've kind of done that with our deferred maintenance within the community, where we never repaired anything or replaced anything. And now literally it has come home to roost now. And we have a failing public safety building, and the Shoemaker Bay floats are all gone, basically worn out. And we have to be smart about that. So I am not opposed, personally, as one vote on the assembly, I am not opposed to looking at other creative ways at looking at capturing the money that the city needs to operate. What I am opposed to is the elimination of a sales tax. Because again, I think that's kicking the can down the road and strapping folks with our savings later on to take care of it. And the problems are always way more expensive the further you get away from the original problem.
Okay, great. Thank you for your answers. And those were my three questions.
Thanks so much, Brooke.
Thank you, Brooke. Have a good
day. All right. Thank you, Brooke, for that call. So let's see if we have another one in the pipe. Let's go to a break real quick, but I think we should have a call coming up. So, okay, hello.
Hello.
Hi, introduce yourself.
John Taylor.
Okay, thank you for waiting for that. Go ahead, John.
Okay, hi, Steve.
Hi, John.
Thank you for your service, both on the assembly and on the fire squad with us. In light of public service and public safety, my question is, let me back up. 2 years ago, I asked the Director of Public Crosswalks before the first cruise ship came up. Now 2 summers have gone by, and the crosswalks still aren't painted, and I think it's just sheer luck that one of our tourists has been injured by people not realizing where the crosswalks are, and just wondered if that's something that you could direct our city manager to direct the department heads to take care of that problem.
Thanks, John. Yeah, no, that is a concern, and I know you spoke to me about that previously, and we had talked about different types of ways of doing it, and I remember once you even spoke to the assembly and pointed out that the state crew is out there doing it with some paint and a couple of boards, and they managed to get the crosswalk at the start of Zaremba Highway there, and I guess which is Bennett. They touch that up every year, and why can't we get that done? And that, and I think it's a really fair question, and I'm more than willing to take that back to Lisa as well. And it is a public safety issue, John, and it's something that we should be better about. So I will take that back and talk with Lisa.
Okay, excellent. My other question is infrastructure maintenance. You touched on that with Brooke's question about the public safety building. My concern is the Nolan Center is starting to look, or has looked, pretty unloved. I think that the department's allowing to grow on there like nobody cared is damaging that metal roof. And then I've always believed it's cheaper to maintain than replace. Is that a project that we could also have somebody take care of, whether it's Public Works or hire a private contractor for it?
Great. Great point, John. So to that end, I think I'm going to circle back to your point about the Nolan Center, but I want to just raise a larger point on this. The deferred maintenance that the city has engaged in over the last 20 years is caught up with us. And we're not the only community that's in a horrible position due to this. I was recently at a conference where the mayor of Fairbanks was talking about their deferred maintenance issues, and you know, we're in the millions, and they were in the hundreds of millions. So this is a very large issue, and I can point to the public safety building, City Hall, the public works building itself, our generators at the electric plant. All of these things have been put off for not just maintenance, but also for replacement. And they have a useful life, as you know. And if we don't maintain things, that useful life diminishes. So I'm always worried about this. Now, the Nolan Center specifically, what Lisa proposed to the assembly this year was a little bit, I guess, more rounded approach to dealing with this problem than sort of piecemealing it. And what she's done is she's actually gone and created an entire department now that is going to be dedicated to maintenance, and it's going to be staffed correctly and funded correctly and be overseen by a supervisor. They're going to have their own shop. I mean, it is now a standalone entity instead of falling under the Public Works Department and all the things that Public Works has going on. The assembly made a huge commitment this year, specifically on the public safety building, and also I think we did some additional funding for Nolan, to start to pick up the pieces on the issues that we're having in those buildings. And we actually wound up passing a deficit budget, which was the first time ever in my history on the assembly, to start to take care of some of these issues. So circling back, the Nolan Center is being dealt with, and the structure of the Nolan Center itself has been changed with having, we now have a director that, and there's like an operations person there as well, sort of support services operation person that's going to be looking after more of those issues. So we're doing our best on it, John. I think we have to give it a year And I've said this to Lisa before, that I know my voice will be heard loud and clear if I don't start seeing improvements in those areas, because we're spending a lot of money to get this thing rolling. So I know Lisa's feeling a little bit of pressure, at least from me, on that.
Okay, thank you. I like that idea, as long as there's funding available to do the project right in a timely fashion. You know, it always costs more to replace, so we're better off to do it now than replace it. Okay, thanks, man.
Thanks, John.
All right, and we should have another caller on the line. So let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, please introduce yourself.
Hi, Don McConaughey speaking.
Hi, Don.
Hello, Steve. Welcome to the being the international mayor once again.
Well, not there yet, Don, but thank
that
you.
That has to be determined.
That's to be determined.
Uh-huh, yeah. Now, before I ask a question, there's a couple things that I want you to know that you are going to be saddled the remainder of your life. number one, if you are successful, will become a member of an exclusive club known as the Old Gray Mares Club, and we sponsor a hole for the Golfing for a Cause, and it will cost you big bucks yearly.
I've changed my mind. I'm not running. I don't want to put out any more money. I'm done.
Yeah, now that you know that, I'll ask my question.
Okay.
How important do you feel it is to have the city staff, complete staff? I know we have lost over the last little bit our finance director and our electrical manager, one thing or another. How important is it to you to get those positions reinstated and get a permanent employee in that position?
It's incredibly important, Don. And I know that it's been a struggle on some of the positions. And I just want to do a call out to Lisa Van Bargen, our city manager. And Lisa has been crucial in the last 4 or 5 months here at bringing about an incredible deal and package for our community with our healthcare solution program that will have a new $30 million plus hospital coming in here. And so Lisa has been just somewhat consumed by making sure that that goes through, because the consequences of that failing were so dire that she really had to give it her undivided attention. And I think it is in some ways slowed down us being able to fill these other positions. Now, with that said, I know that she's working earnestly now to get those positions filled. We did have a first run of folks come through for the finance director position, which is still being covered by Lee Burgess, by the way, on contract while we're filling that. So there is somebody there. And then the public works superintendent position, I know that she's done a series of interviews, and she's just coming back with her final process on that to pick a new public works superintendent. The Nolan Center position has been rehired. And so we have a new Nolan Center director. The the power superintendent role, that's been a tough one. And I know that she's had several times through, and but they just didn't have the right person. Now she's doing interviews again, and we've had Jim Nelson on the interim on that, and sort of being able to help us navigate that. But yes, I'm 100% committed to seeing those positions filled. And also we've looked at, the reason why the expansion was required in the public works department is because we created the maintenance department, which took our current public works superintendent and placed her basically it's capital projects and maintenance program. So we lost her from Public Works because of that. But again, she's been there at Public Works filling in until it's done. So it's been a little bit complicated, a little bit convoluted. It's tough to find folks. I'm not going to lie, but we're going to get it done. And I know Lisa is working tirelessly at getting those positions filled because it's obviously stressful for her too. The assembly's given her clear direction on making sure that gets done.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot, Steve. And I appreciate you putting your name forward. And I hope you have an enjoyable time doing that job as I did.
Well, so, Don,
take care.
Thanks for all your years of service to this community and all that you continue to do at the hospital and your volunteer work. We really appreciate it. And it's folks like you that make Wrangell such a wonderful place.
And you too.
Take care. Thanks, Don.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Don. We have another caller on the line, but we're going to take a 30-second break. So be right back. Okay, we are back. So this is Talk on the Rock. You are listening to your host, June Loeffler. That's me. And one of the candidates for mayor, that is Steve Prasunka. So let's go ahead and go to our next caller. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, introduce yourself.
I'm Carl Carlisle. I'm also running for mayor.
Cool, Carl. Okay.
Hi, Carl.
Hey, what's your question?
Okay. Now, as you mentioned before, we have a limited number of people here in Wrangell, and we have a lot of high-maintenance bills to take care of. Instead of being in a position where we might have to use taxes, wouldn't it be better to put certain things in private hands if we can, like have the Nolan Center come privatized instead of city property?
Well, I guess that's one approach, Carl. I listened to your interview previously, and you'd also suggested water department and the sewer. One of the things I think that maybe you and I disagree on is the role of government. And, private enterprise, if they're going to take over these things, my guess is, Carl, that we would be seeing much higher use fees than we currently are able to offer to our citizens. So, for example, we're looking at a $9 million water treatment plant, which is a new DAF treatment plant up there. And we have so many issues with our water delivery system that the community is going to, more than likely, at other points, we'll probably be looking at bonding for putting in other things. All at the same time as having small incremental increases. And if you're a private business and you walk in and put out $9 million and purchase the current infrastructure, more than likely your costs are going to be passed on to the folks in the community. So, yeah, it would be wonderful if we could have private enterprise take over these things. But private enterprise has a thing called profit, and profit has to go on that line as well. So when we offer services, we don't necessarily look at having a profit, but recognize that service is of value to the community. Another great example would be our swimming pool and our fitness center. That could be offered up to private enterprise, but we already know that operation has losses, and we augment the overall operation of that facility, because we believe that it's important that our kids learn to swim. And, you know, the testament to that is we haven't had a child drown in this community in many, many years because we have a swimming pool where kids can go learn how to swim. So, yeah, we're possible. I have no problem with private enterprise doing some things, but I do believe that there's a good role for government in the community.
Well, it seems that when government is in charge of something, it eventually starts operating in the red. Now, about the water system, if we got a bottling company to get involved to even build up the lower reservoir and reinforce the dams, we would definitely have enough water for this community and even more jobs and income flowing into the
community. I'm not quite sure where you're heading with that. A private water bottling company coming in and shoring up our dam and solving our water issue. I'm not... Maybe I just don't understand the economics of that, but I don't see what the motivation of Nestle is to come in and take over our water supply. First of all, our water supply is deficit in terms of volume. So if you're thinking there's going to be some magical export for them, there just isn't. We barely have enough water there from the drainage area and the basin up there for our own community. It's been a concern for years. So I just don't see it. Maybe you have a way or a thought on how that can work, but I just don't see it.
If they were to raise the lower reservoir to about the same height as the higher reservoir, we would have more water collected.
Well, I've never seen an engineering study that's proposed that, so maybe you have something done already. I don't know.
There has been some studies done on that. It's just a matter of cost. But I believe that private enterprise can take care of the cost instead of trying to get the money from the people of Wrangell.
Well, if you know of somebody that's interested, I'm sure Lisa would love to hear that, because we just signed on to a $9 million plant, and if we don't have to, boy, that'd be great, Carl.
Yeah, well, the nice thing about this plant is that it is expandable. If we expand the amount of water we collect, this particular system can expand along with it. Now, we're still having problems getting the grant money to cover everything, especially about reinforcing the upper dam.
Well, actually, Carl, that's not quite the case. That we were never waiting for grant money for the study of that dam. We were waiting for some equipment to come up from the Lower 48. I know you said in your interview that we were waiting for some money from the Lower 48. It's just with some equipment. They've done the work on the dam leaching problem. And I just spoke with Lisa about it yesterday, and it sounds like it's not as large a concern as we had first thought, and that we're going to be able to do some small minor things to limp us along until we're able to attack it with the bypass.
Okay, the information I got was from Amber about there is a lot that we can do. The town is not going to be growing very quickly, especially if we don't get more water preserved. And if the town does not grow, we're going to have problems getting revenues to maintain buildings if we don't privatize.
Okay, Carl, thank you for calling in. So, Steve, he's got your question again, and let's go. So... yeah, so the water is a huge thing here for sure, and we are in the process of getting a new plant. So let's
well, the water. Let's just go back to that just really quickly.
Yes, please.
So the water is, you know, I always refer to it as this multi-headed hydra, and so unfortunately we had to, as an assembly, pick one of the heads. What we really have is we have a collection issue, we have a storage issue, we have a processing issue, we have a delivery issue, and we have a metering issue at the end user. And each of those issues costs money to deal with. So Wayne and his crew, you know, has given us their best estimate in terms of which head we should attack first. And that was the plant issue, the actual production. And our plant is, you know, again, has outlived its useful life and may well have been the wrong plant to start with. So we had some engineers look at it, and we've looked at the initial sort of scrubbing filters and the medium that we're using and how we're processing that water, and we decided to go with the new plant option, and that I think was a good idea. The assembly voted for it, and we're moving forward with it. We are having some issues with the original grant process, and we're revisiting that. But if all goes well, we should be able to start construction on the new processing plant. But it doesn't negate the fact that we have these other issues. The dam itself is an issue. We've known that for years. I think it's considered the third worst dam in the state. And we've been speaking to whoever we can on a larger state level about some potential help with that. But our delivery system is also an issue. We have ductile iron pipes in the ground. The ductile iron has been affected by electrolysis. Ketchikan has the same problem going on, and they're having to go through and do massive refits with the plastic pipe, and I can't remember the acronym for that pipe. But we know we've had these leaks. We've done leak detection, and we've found massive leaks that have allowed us to actually cut the amount of water that we've had to purify into our system. So I think we're really on the right track there, but we're going to have to eventually look at that delivery system. And then the end users, and I am a big believer in water meters. I think we need water meters in this community. There's going to be people that disagree with me that we shouldn't pay for what we use. But can you imagine if you didn't have to pay for your electricity, if we just said, do your best, give us your best shot. Don't use electricity if you don't have to. And of course, human nature is we would use a lot of electricity. So to that end, we have to really look at some water meters, starting with commercial and moving to residential. I've actually offered up that I'm willing to be a test house on that. But it's important that we know how much water we're using. It also would help us detect leaks down the road, because we know X amount flows out, X amount gets used. We can figure out if we've got losses.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve. So let's go to a 30-second break, and then we'll come right back. We probably can't take any more calls, but we'll let Steve have a final word, and then that'll be it. So, real quick. All right, you're listening to Talk on the Rock, your local live call-in show. The time is 1:38. We have our guest, Steve Persunka, in the studio. He's running for mayor. He's on the assembly now. Steve, we've got a couple more minutes of our program left. What should we know about you before we go to the polls?
Well, know this, please, about me. I'm not as concerned about people voting for me as I am about people voting. We've had pretty dismal turnouts in the past little while for our elections, and I just would love it if we could get a good turnout. That's really what I'm looking for. And of importance, the most important to me issue personally is the hospital. And moving forward with the healthcare solution that's been proposed, and there is a proposition on that ballot, and I would just like to encourage everyone to come out, make yourself informed about it. There's a great booklet that's been put out that will be floating around the community next little while that explains the whole proposal. But I would really like to encourage people, and this is, again, me personally, not me from the assembly standpoint, but to vote yes on the proposition number one to ensure continued health care within our community. And other than that, I'll be on the assembly next Tuesday night doing my service, and that's what we do as a group of folks. As a mayor, you're one vote on the assembly, and your job really is to run the meetings and to keep order within the meetings and make sure, as my friend Assembly Member Decker always reminds me about, to make sure the minority voice on the Assembly is always heard. So that's all I have.
All right. Steve, thank you for your time. Thanks for answering our calls. And to everybody that called or tried to call, thank you so much. This has been a great show because of you all participating with your local elected official. So, Steve, thanks again.
Thank you.